This is episode 29, how educators can bridge the cultural disconnect and implement culturally responsive teaching with Dr. Shanta Smith.
Welcome to Z-Rated Success. Z-Rated Success. The podcast to help educators and those who work with youth to help them succeed by standing out instead of fitting in. This is Z-Rated Success. And this is Nick Zizi.
Hey, Zebra Educator. Here at Z-Rated Success, we're always looking for standout educators. In fact, today's guest is a zebra. She is a standout educator. She is an associate professor in the Department of Elementary, Early Childhood, and Special Education at Southeast Missouri State University. She has over 24 years of experience in education. She has been a teacher, team leader, department head, coach, administrative intern, and principal with the St. Louis Public Schools. There's great value here. So please do me a favor, share this with a friend, and also consider leaving us a review. Let's dive in. I am super excited to have with us today on Z-Rated Success, Dr. Shanta Smith. She is the essence of education. Her mantra is one team, one goal, one band, one sound. When the professor speaks, you should listen. So you're in for a treat. Really excited to have you here with us today, Dr. Shanta Smith. Welcome to Z-Rated Success.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So let's dive right into it. What is culturally responsive instruction?
So when you hear those terms, you might hear culturally responsive teaching, culturally relevant pedagogy. So in essence, culturally responsive teaching is using the cultural knowledge, prior experience, and performance styles of diverse students to make learning more effective and appropriate. So in essence, what you're doing is you're teaching to and through the students.
To and through
Yes. The
students. That's amazing. And I think it's something that is truly needed, right? Especially now. And do you find that that is an effective way of teaching?
It's a very effective way of teaching. When you think about best practices, it's best practices because in essence, what you're doing is you're making sure that the instructional strategies and methodologies that you are using is going to help the student be successful. So it's not about you. You step outside of the box and you look more to meeting the needs of each student. So not just them collectively, because when we talk about collectively, we look at being equal. So you're being equitable as well, because what works for one student might not necessarily work for another student.
And why would a teacher use culturally responsive teaching?
It's important for educators to use the framework of culturally responsive teaching again, because we want to make sure that we're meeting the needs of the populations that we're working with. If you're not meeting the needs of your students, then as you see, there will be no success. And we want our students to be successful. So to be successful, you have to make sure that you are engaging in successful practices. And so again, using those instructional processes and methodologies that are going to meet the needs of your students. So when you talk about being culturally responsive, you're also not just looking at instruction, because a lot of times we look at instruction. Remember, when we teach, we are working with human beings. So we got to make sure that we build and we maintain working relationships with our students and their families.
And one other thing too, I think, as you stated there, we can connect on a deeper level with our students, right? I mean, isn't that one of the purposes, I think, of education, of educators, that we can connect at a deeper level, on a deeper level with our students by learning more about them and making that connection, right?
Yes, it's so important. If you can't create a connection or have a connection with your students, then in essence, it's a disconnect. And we both know if you are disconnected, you're not going to be able to get them to perform where you need them to perform and do what it is that you need them to do to be successful. So again, like I said, it's not just about you looking at those instructional processes, because before you can even get to the instruction, you've got to build the relationship. That's why I say relationship building is so important, and not just building it, but being able to maintain that relationship. So we want to make sure that relationship is productive, that relationship is positive. they understand you and you understand them. Because if we don't understand one another, then it's difficult for us to work together and establish their relationship.
So what do you think is the biggest or one of the biggest challenges that educators have today? Some educators may feel like, well, I don't want to do all of that. I mean, that's just too much. I just know I'm here, I'm getting paid to teach, and that's it. But what is the biggest challenge that you find that educators have today with this? And one other question within the same question, I think I was listening to one of your talks on this topic where you said that I think 94% of educators are Caucasian women and the challenges that come along with that. Right. So if you can speak to that as well, that would be great.
Yes. So depending on what state you're in, it could be 80, 90% more, but nationally it's over 85% nationwide. Teachers that are in our classrooms today are white females. And so when we think about that statistic, while we have that statistic in the teaching population, that statistic does not reflect the student population. The overwhelming majority of our students are increasingly becoming more and more diverse, more and more diverse. And so when we think about the different cultural realms that we're coming from, if the teacher is not familiar with the cultural background of the student, that's where their disconnect comes in. So it's important for the teacher to be able to identify with who it is that they're working with, be able to understand those processes that are going to work well to meet the needs of that student so that that student can experience successes. If the student is not experiencing successes, then the student is not going to be as engaged or actively participating in the lessons that the teacher is teaching. So again, you got to make sure you identify with who it is that you're teaching and you understand them. You got to understand who you're working with. So I would say one of the biggest challenges for teachers today, whether you're working at the early childhood, elementary, middle, high school, or even in higher education, look how I'm looking. They don't understand who they're working with. They're out of touch. They still think we're working with students from yesterday. So they want to stand in front of people and they want to talk and say, blah, 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 like for 2 hours or 3 hours. You can't stand in front of a classroom and just lecture to somebody for that long. That no longer works. You got to be able to differentiate your instruction to meet the needs of the populations that you are serving.
So how does that look in the classroom? Like, what does that look like in the classroom for educators to do that?
So when we talk about differentiating instruction, you're looking at those different modalities and processes you're going to be implementing as you're teaching. So for example, let's say that a teacher might teach a math lesson. The teacher, they might start off with a lecture. Let's say we're a third grade teacher and we're teaching our students how to do two digits by two digits. Well, at first we're going to do the lecture over that. Then they might have some students come up to the whiteboard and actually work out some problems. They then might make the students go into some small groups where they're working together in teams. They might pull out some manipulatives to make sure that students know how to carry and things of that nature. So you are doing different things to meet the needs of your students. So if you have students that are more visual, that means they need to see like videos, they need to see PowerPoints, they might use charts and graph. For the student that is more audio, that's just their preference of learning. Then you're going to do more talking, have more sound. For those students that are kinesthetic, they've got to move that rotation when you're allowing them to get up out of the seat. So again, you're looking at what works for each one of your students, and you're making sure that when you're teaching your lesson, you keep that in mind as you plan and you prepare to teach that lesson. So you're not necessarily teaching those concepts one way. You're doing it multiple ways to meet the needs of each of those individuals in your classroom.
And that also keeps them engaged, right?
Yes.
So when you're able to try different ways in reaching them, that is really a great way. Now, the other question that I have is, and I want to go back to something you stated earlier.
Okay.
Is, let's say if I'm that educator, right? And I don't look like the students I'm teaching, right? I didn't come from where they came from. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, I haven't experienced what they've experienced. What is it that I can do as an educator to be able to find out more about them and to make that connection? I mean, that is so important, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So as you stated earlier, so what is it that I can do right now as an educator if I'm in that situation?
What I always remind individuals, and I do it just like this, I say, just teach. I'm going to do it again. just teach. I think sometimes what happens is educators, we get caught up in that, oh, I don't come where they come from. I don't necessarily look like them. I don't talk like them or that. At the end of the day, it is your responsibility to provide the students with a quality education. And if you know your content, and of course you went to school, so you did all that studying, so you know the content. It's how you teach the content. So when you think about the individuals that you're working with in the classroom, you want to have the energy. You want to have that passion. You want to make sure that when you bring it, in essence, you're like a video game or something. You're like the YouTube channel that they go to. So in essence, it's like edutainment. Because, and you may say, well, I shouldn't have to entertain my students. Again, we have to remember this is 2021. We're not dealing with students from the 1960s or the 1970s. So that's what I mean by you have to step outside of your comfort zone, step outside of your square and do what it is that you need to do to captivate them, to motivate them, to inspire them, to get them to a space and a place where they're willing to say, hey, you know what? This education thing is important. And I'm going to make sure that I'm listening to my teacher and doing what the teacher tells me I need to do, so that I can experience the successes that I'm looking for. So again, it doesn't make a difference if you're dealing with a preschooler, a middle schooler, or an adult in higher ed.
So just teach.
Yes, just teach. Teach.
Just teach. Awesome. So, and you also said edutainment. Did I say that right?
Yes, yes, edutainment.
So then what if I'm not that engaging teacher, right? If that's just not my personality, like, what can I do? How can I make this work?
Look how I'm looking, Nick. Ooh, it's going to be challenging for you, my sister or my brother. It's going to be very challenging. I'll give you an example. I'm really an introvert. I like being by myself. I like peace. I like calm. But when I put my teaching hat on, you would never know that. Because again, as a teacher, it's not about me. It is about the students, the adults, or whoever it is that I'm working with. And if what I'm doing is not working, then that means I'm not all of that. Because some teachers think, yes, I have degrees, I went to school, and I can teach. No, if you're not getting success or experiencing success with the students, then what you're doing is not effective and efficient. And so if we go back to what culturally responsive teaching is, we want to make sure that we're engaging in appropriate strategies to meet the needs of our students. So again, we're looking at their cultural knowledge. We're looking at the experiences that they bring to the table. And we kind of add that little spice in it to make sure that when we teach those skills and concepts that they're responsible for learning, that we're doing it in a way that they understand. Because if they don't understand, they will not perform at their highest levels.
That's great. That's great. I mean, I feel like we should just stay right there. But wow. So again, there's no excuse, right? Educators can still make the connection, still, as you stated, quoting what you said, just teach.
Yes.
Just get in there. And we can reach so much, I mean, so many more students, right? We can reach so many more students by doing that. Now, there is one statement you made, and I'm going back to one of your talks on this topic here. And you said we should not be afraid of our students, because if we're afraid of our students, we're not going to make the connections. And so can you speak to that for a moment?
Yes. I just want both of us to just think about this for a minute. If you're afraid of somebody, how can you work with them? How can you be effective and efficient? Mm-hmm. Because you're afraid, you're scared, you think something is going to happen. And when we think about that in and of itself, where did you even get that fear from? Where does it stem from? Where does it come from? There are systemic systems that are put in place in education. And so some of the systems that we are placed in, we come in with these preconceived notions, these biases and things of that nature. And we already have these ideas about the students that we're responsible for working with, instead of us, when we get in there, getting to know who our students are. If I'm scared of you, I can't teach you because I'm fearful that something is going to happen to me. And so if you're fearful, you have to stop and slow down for a minute and take a look at it and say, okay, let me close my eyes for a minute and let me think about, where is this fear coming from? Where are these feelings and emotions stemming from? And if you don't figure that out, you'll never be able to break through and get to meet the needs of your students, because you're still in this space and this place that's not conducive to teaching and learning. And when we talk about teaching and learning, you've got to make sure that the culture and climate in your classroom is conducive to teaching and learning in order for teaching and learning to take place. If it's not, teaching and learning is not going to happen in your classroom. So whatever you're fearful of, you need to figure out why you're fearful, because you don't even know the student. You just got there. So you got to be able to get an understanding of who that individual is before you can move forward.
It's a great point. And how can we gather the information about our students, about where they're coming from, who they are? I really want to go back to that because I think that's important, because we oftentimes we hear that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make that connection, learn all you need to know, what you can about the student. But if you only have, what, an hour, 2 hours with a student, there's not much you can do. So perhaps, is it administration? Is it just speaking to the student? How does that look like for us to gather the information that we need to know more about the students so that we can better connect with them?
Something as simple as asking questions. Depending on the grade levels that you teach, you can speak with those students. You can get information from the parents. It's how you design your lessons and then how you go about teaching your lessons. For example, let's say, for example, you're working with, let's say, middle schoolers. Let's say you're doing a lesson on the Civil War. So to get all those different modalities, like I said, your visual learners, your audio learners, your kinesthetic learners, okay, you're going to lecture, but instead of just lecturing, I'm going to show a video, and then I'm actually going to do a reenactment of the Civil War. In a reenactment, you're going to have each one of your students play a different role. So that way, you're being able to see what the student brings to the table. You're able to look at their character and their skill set. And then throughout the year, just have points in time where you're actually asking them, hey, Nick, how was your day today? What's going on with you? I see you're not smiling today. You're normally smiling. Is there anything I can do to assist you? Or you come in there so happy and you're amped up and I'm like, whoa, Nick, you're excited today. What's going on today? Just the mere fact, just me communicating with you, speaking to the student, getting to know the student. When the student is doing work, actually diving in and looking at those assignments, and really seeing, okay, what is it that Nick is misunderstanding? Instead of just making an overall general statement, really diving in and like looking at their work and say, okay, well, I'm looking at this and I see that he's not able to comprehend. Why isn't he able to comprehend? You might have some things going on with phenological awareness or something like that. You really got to do your work as an educator to get to understand who it is that you're working with. There, you can get data from previous teachers to look at it as it pertains to instruction. But again, when we talk about working with our students, it's not just about instruction. It's about dealing with human beings. And so when we talk about dealing with human beings, we have to be able to build and maintain those relationships. So relationship building is key. So again, the instructional design, how you design your lessons, is going to pull different things out of your students. And that goes whether you're teaching face-to-face, because we know now, due to the pandemic, we're in a virtual world. So whether you're face-to-face or virtual, you have them working independently. You still got to make sure you put processes in place to help the student just kind of like come out of their shell.
This is awesome. You've said a lot. And you've said something here, several things that I want to go back and unpack, but we may have to have another show just on that. And it's on lesson planning. Like, how do I create a culturally responsive lesson plan with all that we've said thus far, all that you've said thus far? How do I incorporate that in my lesson plans? So I know we don't have much time, but I do want you to just give me one or two. And I'm sure, I know for myself, I will receive value from it as well as our audience here. So what would you say to include in your lesson plan? Or better yet, what's the thought process in going into the lesson plan with everything you've said thus far?
So one of the things I want us to be mindful, because sometimes when we talk about being culturally responsive, individuals think you have to do something extra. You're not doing anything extra when you're engaging in culturally responsive teaching. In essence, culturally responsive teaching is good old-fashioned teaching. So it's a teacher who is able to identify with their students. The teacher is good with content. They know what it is that they're doing. So they know the content. And when they deliver the instructional processes, they deliver that content in a way that their students understand. So when you're sitting planning your lesson, you have to make sure, think about what you want. So don't just think about you teaching the lesson. Think about you being the student yourself. As a student receiving the information from the teacher, what is it that you need in order to perform at your highest level? What strategies and techniques work for you? Something as simple as recall. If I ask you something, then have the student repeat it back to you. Just have them repeat it back to you. So you can say, I can, I will, I must. Ladies and gentlemen, repeat that. And then they'll say, I can, I will, I must. Let's say it one more time. I can, I will, I must. Okay, in the chat, if you're teaching virtual, in the chat, type that in the chat for me. Type that in the chat for me. Yes, okay. Nick, what did we just say? And then you repeat that to me. That's something very simple. You can also, at the beginning of the class, to set the tone, one of the things that I do, and I've been doing this for 28 years, and I've been teaching on all levels, we start off with a motto and then some poems. So we say something as simple as, this day has been given to me, fresh and clear. I can either use it or throw it away. I promise that I will use this day to the fullest, realizing that it can never come back again. I realize that this is my life to use or throw away. Doing that, you're making the student take ownership as well as you're taking ownership. So we know that every 24 hours, we're given a day. And it's up to us to make sure that we utilize those 24 hours in the best way possible. So just simple things, have them summarizing, have them take notes, use charts, use graphs. It's just simple things. So you're not doing anything extra. You're just doing good old fashioned teaching. And the key, if you don't understand something or if you don't know something, teachers ask for help. Just ask for help. Simple. And a lot of teachers, because we're in our own little silos, we don't really ask for help when we need help. Because if we think somebody finds out, then, you know, that's, I don't know. I don't want them to know that. No, it is about us supporting each other, inspiring each other and motivating each other so that we can be successful. And therefore, our students will be successful.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Good old fashioned teaching, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right. This is great. This is great. So now we're coming to the end of our time together here. I'd like to ask you a question here about how did this all start for you? I mean, what was the drive that brought you here in education? You said you've been in education for over 23 years. So what led you here? You could have done a lot of other things, I'm sure, but
yes.
Why this?
I walk, talk, dream, sleep education. I am not exaggerating, because early on, I had a full understanding that an education allows each one of us to think for ourselves. Because just think about it. If you're not thinking, somebody else is thinking for you. So learning to value, appreciate, and respect the opportunities that an education affords each one of us. The mere fact that we're able to read, to write, to do arithmetic. If we can't read, if we can't write, if we can't do arithmetic, it's going to alter our life experience. So something as simple as that, I want us to think about students that aren't able to read or students that have difficulty reading. They have difficulty throughout school. So again, showing our students and showing ourselves the value of an education and what your education can do for you. And when I talk about education, I'm not just talking about us going to school. I'm talking about you learning so that you can live a life of substance, so that you can aspire and achieve higher things for yourself. Just really understanding what an education does for me. And when I think about the circumstances and situations that I experienced myself and how I utilize an education to pull me up out of there, I know that if it works for me, it works for everybody else. And so I try to make sure that I instill in any individuals that I'm working with to value, to appreciate, to respect and honor what your education affords you.
That's great. That is great. And my last question, my final, and this is actually my random question, and that is, if you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Only one food for the rest of my life. Let's see. I am going to choose a vegetable.
Okay.
A green vegetable. Yes, a green vegetable, because we need those greens. I would say broccoli. Yes.
Yes. All right. Broccoli. Yes. I love broccoli.
Yes, me too.
So that's it. Nothing else. No salt, pepper on it. I know. I'm just saying.
You said one thing for the rest of your life. And I was just thinking, if you use broccoli, we could spice the broccoli up. Because we could boil the broccoli. We could put the broccoli in the oven, put a little olive oil on it with a little garlic and a little sea salt. So we could do different things to the broccoli. We could eat it raw. So, hey, you could do different things with that broccoli just to spice it up a little bit.
That's awesome. That's great. And tell us, how can we support you? I mean, you've shared a ton of, great value here. And I know all the educators who are listening right now to this podcast have received tremendous value. So how can we support you?
I would say you can support me. You can go to any of my channels on IG, Facebook, Twitter, and just every single day. One of the things I do to inspire us is I do like motivational words. I just pick a book and I read those motivational words. So give me the energy that I'm giving you. It's just that simple. Be a little kinder to one another. Smile. You never know what a smile does. I'm being serious. Just like you're just sprinkling some inspiration. If you don't have a smile on your face, I'm a smile and be, good morning, Nick. How are you today? So the energy that I put out, just give that energy back to me so that we can make sure that each one of us is walking in our greatness, being the best that we can possibly be.
What is your IG and your social media handle as well as your website?
So my website is www.drshantasmith.com. IG, Snapchat, Twitter and Facebook is just at Dr. Shonta Smith. So DrShontaSmith at Dr. Shonta Smith.
Thank you again for coming on Z-Rated Success, Dr. Smith. And I tell you, we love having standout educators like yourself, and the value that you brought here today is tremendous. And I know that our educators will receive some tremendous value from this episode. So again, everyone, please do check out Dr. Shonta Smith's website for more information about what she does and what she offers. And she also has a book. You forgot to tell us about your book.
Oh, yes, I did forget to tell you about the book. I have a book. You can get it on Amazon, The Essence of Education, Daily Meditations for the Soul. And so it's just inspirational quotes to help you live your life to the fullest.
Awesome. Thank you again for coming on Z-Rated Success. And I think I might go and get me some broccoli.
All righty. Thank you for having me and continue doing great work, Nick.
Awesome. Thank you for listening to Z-Rated Success. I hope you were inspired today from our guests. I hope you learned some incredible strategies from our guests on what they're doing to impact their students to see them succeed. If you are an educator that wants to get a professional development, to get a presentation for your students to help build their self-esteem so that they are not following the crowd, but they are knowing who they are so they can stand out, please send an email to info@nickzz.com so we can set up a time to talk. I would love to see about getting my speaking programs or my best-selling books or my professional development in your school. Thank you so much for listening. And that's a wrap. I'm your host, Nick ZZ, reminding you that imitation is limitation. Unleash your zebra.
If you've received value from today's podcast, make sure to subscribe and visit ZRatedSuccess.com for more tips and strategies that will help you stand out instead of fit in. Reminding you today to unleash your zebra. Unleash your zebra.